lesson is called Reboot Your Meditation Practice. Now, in the previous lessons, I talked about various very practical methods and understandings for elevating and expanding your consciousness, for learning more about the light body, just really wonderful information that is very inspiring to me. That's why I love sharing it. And in this one, I want to talk about one of the most important parts of doing all those things, and that is the act of reclaiming your calm center, cultivating the ability to be at peace in your core, even when a lot of drama and difficult things or good things or whatever it is that's going on around you. And this is really essential to be on the path of ascension, light body activation. Now, so many people have gone through so many things about meditation. You know, many people have practiced meditation and decided it's just too difficult, or they do it, but they have, you know, maybe a certain, you know, habit pattern where it's not necessarily as vibrant and alive and beneficial as it could be. Some people kind of cycle in and out of doing it and not doing it. So whatever it is, it's always a good thing to take stock of where you are with your meditation practice and reboot it and renew it. You know, it's like renewing your vows, something like that, and really getting into it again. But the vow is to yourself, not to anybody else. All these things I'm talking about in these lessons is a lot like surfing. You know, surfing, you're either riding the wave on a surfboard on top of the wave in balance, and it's an exhilarating experience, or you wipe out and you're crushed under all this water and struggling to breathe. And that's the other side of it. So really, in our world right now, in our lives, we're pretty much all surfing, and we're either riding on top of the wave or getting crushed underneath it. And so a lot of these arts we're talking about, this elevation of consciousness, activating the light body, meditating, these are all things that help us to be surfing on the wave, which, believe me, is a much more preferable place to be. Now, once you reboot your meditation practice and get into a healthy, loving discipline with yourself with it, there's so many amazing benefits. There's improved health. There's feeling better within yourself, stronger immune system, more resistance to disease, feeling more conscious, more aware, more graceful aging. And another thing is that you just feel more attuned to truth. You tend to see through the BS more and see more, with more clear eyes, what's really going on in people and situations around you. And finally, it also helps you in your improved healing abilities. You're able to help others more. Now, there's something that people often don't understand clearly that discourages them from doing meditation, and that's the role of temporary discomfort. You know, I wrote about this in my recent book, that in America, people are very willing to go to the gym and sweat and be in an aerobic class or a Zumba class and pump iron, and because they want so much to be buff and be healthy and protect their health and whatever it is, be in their competition. You know, people are willing to go to plastic surgeons and have their faces sliced up and have injections of Botox and a lot of things that can be really uncomfortable because they so much want to look better. So in other words, for certain things that we have a high value for, we're very willing and understand about temporary discomfort. So in this country, we do understand that. But we're total wimps for the most part when it comes to the temporary discomfort that happens when you recommit to your meditation practice. Because yes, it's not all just sun and light and sunshine. You know, there's a certain amount of work in meditation. It actually takes work to sit down, to focus your mind, to deal with the discomfort or fidgetiness or antsiness you have sometimes, and to just persist and to keep doing the techniques of meditation. And when you do that, just like with working out in the gym, you end up with a wonderful benefit. So that's the first thing I want to say in rebooting your meditation practice, is just know in advance that it's work. It's something that you give love and effort to, and there may be temporary discomfort, but it is so, so worth it. Now, a big part of meditating when you're an American or in some of these Western societies is detoxing yourself from the addictions of the mind, which are just so totally prevalent in our society. You know, we are so addicted to being constantly stimulated and entertained and connected with digital devices and having multitasking things, you know, affecting us. And our brains go through the neuroplasticity and remodel to those things. Our society is full of weapons of mass distraction. And an important part of rebooting your meditation practice is basically weaning ourselves off the addiction that our brains have developed to a lot of this constant external stimulation, the biggest of which is digital devices we carry around with us, but also the need to constantly being entertained and to not just be with ourselves very much. That's what our society encourages us to do. So it's literally an addiction, just like any other drug addiction. And so it's something that we can shift with clear intentionality and patience with ourselves. We can spend more time feeling the sensations in our body, being with our breath, being with what's actually real. Now, I call meditation a technology of consciousness because it is very precise. It is a science. And the Buddha, Gautama Buddha, was somebody who studied it as a scientist. Really, when he sat under the Bo tree and went through his meditation process to reach enlightenment, he very carefully observed how the deep mind works and understood what it takes to transform it. And I want to say a few things from this, which I call the universal path. The universal path are principles of the technology of consciousness that are shared by all really useful spiritual paths and religions. They all contain these same elements, just with different words and trappings and different belief systems and so on. And the reason is because these are the things that work. Even Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, follows the same principles of this universal path as Buddhism or Christianity or Vipassana or Zen or whatever it is. So let's take a look at a couple of the key thoughts about the universal path. One word from Sanskrit is called vairagya. And what vairagya means is a profound state of disillusionment that people get to when they're basically so smashed by life that they just pretty much give up hope they're ever going to find their satisfaction and love out here. And usually it takes some traumatic things over and over again to people bring people into vairagya. And of course with Alcoholics Anonymous, alcoholics will just keep justifying and rationalizing why they're drinking and I'm in control of it and all this until they basically hit bottom. And when somebody does that, that's the only time that they're really going to take the first step and admit that they are out of control and unmanageable and turn it over to a higher power. It's the same in all the principles, all the different paths. So vairagya is a very important thing because when you come to that point of vairagya, that's when you're really willing to meditate. Until then, it's very difficult because people always find the excuse, I'm too busy, I don't feel like it, I'm tired. And so vairagya, you don't have to go through trauma to feel vairagya. It can become an inner attitude you have. Like one famous teacher said, I always remember breath and death. And another, Carlos Castaneda's teacher said, death is my advisor. And what those things mean to me is that by remembering death or remembering the impermanence of life, it kind of keeps you on that cutting edge of vairagya without having to have a car accident or everybody leaving you or whatever the situation is. That understanding that I need to be with what's real. I crave what's real. And yes, I can be in this world and do all the things I'm doing and have fun and play and go through all these experiences, but I need to keep in touch with what's real. And that's what meditation really is. It's when you spend your time being with what is real. Now, another really key term from the universal path is samskara. Something's called sankara in different dialect. According to what Buddha taught, samskaras are these energetic consciousness complexes that ricochet around our subconscious mind and are the underpinnings of suffering. They're what keeps perpetuating suffering on our lives. And samskaras are aggravated every time we react to our suffering and feel bad about it and judge ourselves, we're creating more samskaras. So it's kind of a vicious cycle that humanity's gotten into. So again, Buddha was able to come up with a technology of consciousness for people to free themselves from these samskaras. And the most important part of which is meditation. It's spending time in the unreactive self, in the calm center within yourself. And pretty much every time you take a breath that's unreactive, every time you're in that state, some scars are being released and no new ones are being created. So this is, again, when you understand this, it's very, very inspiring to make us actually want to meditate and enjoy meditation. Now, the simplest form of meditation is conscious breathing, is sitting and being with your breath. And of course, there's so many variations on that. And what also accentuates it even more is what's called the master hookup. That's where you take the tip of your tongue and touch it to the roof of your mouth right behind your two front teeth. That really accentuates your inner connection. So it can be as simple as that. Master hookup with your tongue, conscious breathing is basically the basis of meditation. Now there's some variations of this that I find extremely helpful that help to create focus and really help clear out the chakras and transform the emotions and activate light body that we can share at another time, but they're really based on breath, based on consciousness within yourself. And also feeling the sensations in your body.